Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, and a few weeks ago I interviewed an entrepreneur who sells cups on Amazon. The guy's making a killing with it and the business keeps growing. And so I interviewed him and I found out how he grew his business. When the interview was done, he shot me an email and he said, Andrew, if you really want to understand how we know what to sell, how sellers like us who sell on Amazon know what we should be doing on Amazon, well, there's this secret tool that we use. It's not so secret, but the guy who created it doesn't talk about the software much. I think, Andrew, you should have him on Mixergy and figure out what's going on there. So we emailed back and forth, and I've got the founder of the company that makes this software. His name is Greg Mercer. His software is called Jungle Scout. Jungle Scout is a product research tool for Amazon sellers. It helps them spot opportunities for things to sell on Amazon. I've kind of given it a short description here, but in the interview, we're going to understand more of what it does, and more importantly for me, how he built up this company and how well it's doing and why it's doing so well. This whole interview is sponsored by two great companies. The first will host your website. It is called HostGator, and the second one will help you grow your sales. In fact, Greg, I know you never heard of them, but I want you to hear that ad because I think you're going to find it useful in your business. It's called PipeDrive, but I'll tell everyone more about them later. First, Greg, welcome.
Andrew, thanks a lot for having me on. I'm excited to be here. My goal is to make this the best Mixergy podcast in history. And I figure if I can't get there, then I'll just pad my stats with a whole bunch of paid traffic or something.
Oh, I like that. Send paid traffic to this interview. Why don't we start with this if we're going to make it the best? How much revenue are you making with this thing? It's a Chrome plugin. How much money can you possibly make with that?
Two parts. There's a Chrome plugin. There's also a SaaS app, Andrew. So we don't disclose publicly our revenue numbers, but I'll tell you this. We have in the mid 95,000 customers or something now. So the audience, you know, they can go to our website and back into our revenue if they'd like.
So you know I'm going to do that right now, okay?
Do your napkin math.
Plans that start with anywhere from $29 a month that go up to, do I need to both pay for the Chrome extension and the web app?
Two separate products. You could buy just one, both of them. About two-thirds of our customers end up getting both of them. Another third just use one or the other.
So two-thirds of the people are paying for both. Okay, so let's take the cheapest monthly plan that you have, $29 a month, right? Multiply mm-hmm. that by 12. We end up with $348 a year, right? 348 times, what did you say? Let's say 90,000 people. That means $31 million in revenue, but you said only two-thirds pay for the monthly, right? Mm-hmm. So that means $20,000 comes if everyone is just in the cheapest plan, and many people are signing up for the more expensive plans that go up to $69 a month. So fair to say over $20 million a year?
Yeah, plus or minus $19 million or so. Yeah.
Here's what I want to know. Am I crazy in this math?
You're not crazy.
In the wrong neighborhood completely.
No, not at all.
Okay. And this is a company that raised no outside funding.
Zero outside funding. It's 2.5 years old, started in February of 2015. So we're still pretty young. Still pretty small too, like in between 30 and 35 employees in the team. So yeah.
And it's run by a guy who's barely in the office. I mean, you've got a nice setup today. You're recording in a beautiful studio. But how much of the year are you in this place where you are versus traveling around the world with a backpack?
Yeah, so I'm here like 2 or 3 months out of the year. So this is Vancouver. You can kind of see behind me a little bit. Maybe some people hopefully working back there. So yeah, here 2 or 3 months of the year. So when actually we started the company, like roughly two and a half years ago, my wife and I sold all of our stuff, sold all of our house, and started traveling around. So yeah, we're homeless. We're Airbnb's best customer. And spent a few months of the year with some people of the team. The rest of the time's traveling.
Do you ever wonder if people are recording you when you're in an Airbnb? Because I spend time in those places too. And sometimes I think, what are they doing here?
Like secret cameras or secret voice recordings?
It's not even so secret anymore. How many people now have Amazon Show or something like that or a Nest camera? What are you remembering to turn that thing off?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't really think about it. Nah.
I always do. But I still use Airbnb. I love it. Especially if you're doing like a team meeting. Imagine if you're meeting with them in a hotel room. It creates this weird corporate vibe versus you rent a big house. Everyone gets their own room. You're always in the living room in each other's space. All right. This isn't about Airbnb. That interview I already did. This is about your business. And you're a guy who started out as a civil engineer. And as a side hustle, you did what on Amazon? Because that's what led to this.
Yeah, I was selling physical products on Amazon. So my whole life had like this strong entrepreneurial spirit. I, you know, that went like the normal American route, you know, like went to high school, I went to college, became a civil engineer, got like a real job at like working for this corporate company, didn't like it. So I was like, all right, how do I get out of this? I found selling on Amazon as an opportunity at the time. So I started selling physical products on Amazon, and I did that, I think, for like a year and a half before I quit my job or something. So I was like, all right, if I can replace my engineering income with selling these products through Amazon, then like, you know, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to do the entrepreneur thing full time. So that's what I was doing. And it was going pretty well. By the time I quit, I think I was making more than I was, you know, working as the engineer.
What's the first thing that you sold on Amazon?
I sold a whole bunch of random stuff. Like one of my first products was this, most of them actually were like in like the healthcare and like the patio lawn and garden space. So I sold like a little bench for like people to garden with and like a few other kind of weird, just like garden
bench
type things
for
like that.
To garden with?
Yeah. Like a little, like a bench to kneel on that.
How did you know that was going to, why that?
Yeah, so I had this process that I created. So I was very like, I'm very like data driven type person. You
so
know,
before
like
you even sold
trade,
a single thing, you created a process.
Yes. Well, I was like, all right, I have no idea what to sell. Like, I don't have my heart set on anything. Like, I don't want to sell like any of these things that I'm passionate about. So I was like, well, what's going to sell well, you know, like with low competition? So I was kind of like going through that process. And that's how I stumbled upon this. It's like, man, these people, there's a couple people selling these, they're killing it. And it's not very competitive, so it seems like something I could easily sell. Just to clarify, yeah, I was getting these products made in China. I was putting like my private label or my name brand on it, and then just using Amazon as a super powerful channel to
buying them. They were already being made by some factory in China, and you said, "Look, I'm going to buy it, but I want them to put my brand on it." Got it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I'm not like an inventor, right? This thing was already being made. I'm just buying it from the factory.
I see a lot of that on Amazon. When I was looking for a battery for my – I got the iPhone 7 Plus, and the next day I said, how do I get an extra battery for it in case I need it? And I saw one that looked great, and then I saw another one that looked just like it. Another one looked just like it. Every one of them looked the same, but they had a different brand name, and I realized there are a lot of people who are doing this kind of thing. All right, so you start doing that. How did that do for you?
It was doing well. You know, like I was confident in it and I was making enough money to quit my day job. This was going to be the money that my wife and I were living off of as we were traveling around. We sold our house. We sold our stuff. We're going to live off this like Amazon money, right? So yeah, it was going well. Yeah, that was happening for like a few months. I mean, I still sell stuff on Amazon today, so I'm still making money off it. So, but yeah, I'm saying like it was going good enough, you know, to be confident to live off it.
And the whole thing was done off of a laptop because you can just find a manufacturer in China who's making something and have them rebrand it. And what would you do? You'd have it ship it all the way to Amazon. Amazon then takes over. At that point, you pay storage, you pay shipping fees for Amazon, but Amazon's
doing
it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's why with the sale price.
Yeah, that's why Amazon's so cool. You have like FBA fulfilled by Amazon. So I'm just mailing stuff from China to these distribution centers in the States. Like whenever someone would order it, Amazon would fulfill it. They do the customer support. So it's like pretty hands off. So it was like the perfect like lifestyle type business for me to like travel around. My idea at the time was like, oh, like I just read like Tim Ferriss's book, of course, right? So I was like, oh man, I'm just gonna like sit on the beach and like I'll work 2 hours a week, like checking my sales and just have the time of my life. Well, I found after like 2 weeks, I was like, I've never been so bored in my life. This is terrible. Like I'm making the money.
Well,
however,
I don't understand,
you know, like,
that. If the thing is actually working, you're making money, why bored? Why not say, how do I juice it, get another 20% this week? How do I get people to come to my store? How do I find one of these products that's actually going to be a big breakout hit? My fidget spinner or something.
Yeah. So that's exactly what happened. But like in my head, my idea, like at the time, because I think like when you're working a corporate job, you're like, man, if I could just like go on vacation all the time, I'd be happy. But like most like driven, especially like entrepreneurial people, they're not happy just like relaxing, sitting on the beach and stuff. Right. So after like a week or two, I was like, all right, like I want to like scale up this business. I want to like start something else, this, that, and the other thing. So that's exactly what happened. I ended up working more than I did in my corporate job, but instead it was like fulfilling work that was like exciting to me. Right.
Do you remember celebrating with your wife when you realized this thing was actually going to work?
There was never like a time of like, today's the day we've realized that this is going to work. It was always like, it's working now, but like, hopefully this doesn't go away. Like we need to definitely be living underneath our means to be, you know, safe.
So even when you got on that first flight, after you sold your house and everything, you got on the first flight, there was never a sense of, we did it. We're actually living this life that we want.
No, I guess you're right. There was that. There wasn't like a point in that business that like, okay, like our income is like fantastic. But there was a part that we were like, I think like high five and like dude, we just quit our jobs. We sold all of our stuff. We had a house, all this crap. We sold everything. And it's like, wow, like we just took a huge leap of faith here. So I do remember celebrating that. That was exciting.
Yeah. When I started Mixergy, things were going kind of okay. And then my wife and I got married and we said, we don't want to live an ordinary life. Let's just get rid of everything and go fly to a different country. And I remember when we flew to Argentina with our dog and our cat, we took first class flight, 17 hours. You want a nice first class experience. I was excited, but I looked over at her and I realized that her excitement was counterbalanced by the sense of, why are we in first class? Like, and it sounds like you didn't experience any of that. There was never a sense of, yay, we're here, but oh, maybe we're making a big mistake by taking this big leap. Was it?
No, I don't think so. I think I was confident when I wanted to do this. And I was just like, that was kind of like the jumping off the cliff that I wanted to take. And I was like, there's no turning back. Like, I am not going back to my engineering jobs. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes just to make this work. So that like lit a fire under me, right?
Yeah, that whatever it takes feeling is such a good feeling to have. All right. So you say, I'm going to keep on doing this thing. Was there one big breakout hit before we get into the software? What was the big one? The one that made the most money?
There was no like big breakout hit really. I continued to like add products. They all would all like do pretty well.
Give me examples. I want to get a sense of what you were selling at the time.
Yeah, like at one point I was selling like braces for people who would like break their wrists or their arms, different like gardening tools, like an aerator machine, really random gardening? Stuff like that.
Were you a gardener?
No, I don't know anything about gardening.
Okay, I see. So it was just a sense of, hey, look.
This is just stuff that was selling well on Amazon.
Frankly,
yeah,
that's what your software helps people do, right?
Yeah,
find absolutely. Opportunities on Amazon, and even if they don't care a rip about gardening, if that's what people are buying and that's where the money is, they should be finding a way to satisfy that need. That's what Jungle Scout does.
Yeah, no doubt.
I see, and I get the name too, right? Amazon's a jungle. We got a scout right here that's going to help get us.
That's it.
All right. You started saying that you started getting open about what you were doing. What was the goal? Why did you start sharing with people how you were doing this thing on Amazon? And at what point did you start sharing it?
Yeah, so actually I didn't start sharing. Well, I was always like pretty active, like kind of like in the Amazon communities, whether it's like Facebook groups or like the Reddit threads or like whatever else. I was like communicating with that, you know, like to people like that. As far as like all of my kind of recent webinars, podcasts, let's say over like the past like 2 years, that was, you know, I do a lot of that to help like bring exposure to like Jungle Scout would be like, you know, like it is really fulfilling for me to help people, but I guess that's like the underlying reason, right? It's like spread the word about Jungle Scout.
You're teaching people about how to sell on Amazon and that process, they're getting to know that your software will help them sell more.
Yeah, no doubt.
Going back to before you had Jungle Scout, what's one or two things that you did that allowed you to sell more that still would work today, even for someone who isn't a Jungle Scout customer?
One or two things. The main thing that I would always do, like a lot of people wouldn't, is like testing your main image. So like the click-through rate is very dependent on whatever you have on that main image. On Amazon. So like if you were to look at a whole bunch of my products, you'd see that like, so a product that I publicly launched, I'm selling right now, is like this hooded baby towel. If you go to Amazon right now and look at it, it's like this really cute baby, like holding this big red, like toy, like bath toy, right? And it like draws your eye straight to it. So that'd be like one of the big things, like making a really good main image.
I see that.
Type in the background, so Jungle Snugs.
Is this, wait a minute. Is this the Natemia Extra Soft Baby Bamboo Hooded?
No, mine's called Jungle Snugs.
Snugs. Because the thing about Natemia that got me to pay attention is they've got these four lightning bolt emojis.
Yeah, see, that's good. Actually, Amazon recently deprecated that feature. So they're like an OG that got in before Amazon took away that.
I see. So they're allowed to have it in there. Oh, and there's another one that has favorite gift idea with a heart, but I guess that's them. What was it called? It's called Jungle. Let me see. Jungle. I'm going to do
Jungle Snugs.
Oh, it's not showing up.
If you search like hooded baby towel, we're probably in like the top two rows.
Jungle Snugs did not show up at that point.
What?
okay, so I see. So you've got a baby playing with a toy and the baby has a bubble on his face. So you paid to have that photo shoot. You sent a towel over to a photographer and you said, go find a baby, take a photo of this and give it to me so I can. Okay, so that's something that will work even today. Better photos.
Yeah, no doubt.
What else?
Something else, I guess, little hacks that work well today, even if you're not a Jungle Scout customer. Like one thing that works well for me, like when you're checking out, You can make a promotion that shows up in the checkout and you say like, oh, hey, like if you want to purchase two of these, use these coupon to use this coupon to get like an extra 10% off by implementing that. Yeah. So like you'll not that many people do it, but by implementing it, I was able to like increase kind of like the average order size, but like 10, 15%.
Wow. I buy on Amazon all the time, like literally almost every single day.
Me
and
too.
I never noticed it. So there's a coupon in there that says, hey, you just bought one towel. If you buy two towels, you're going to get a discount.
Yeah. It shows up on the checkout page.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I wonder if I just missed it. Okay. So that's helpful. What about for someone who's buying ads? Is there anything about tracking the results that's useful that many sellers don't know about?
As far as buying ads, there's like two platforms on Amazon. There's the sponsored products. That's like the standard section that you see like on the right-hand side with like the sponsored text. It's like a super basic platform. I don't think there's really many secrets there. There is another app platform called AMS, Amazon Marketing Services. That's one that not many people like know how to get access to. So aren't using the, CPCs there are normally like less expensive and I've had better luck with them. So yeah, you register for this thing called like Vendor Express program. You essentially send one junky product into Amazon. So it lets you in the program. The only reason you want access to the program is to get access to the AMS ads. And then those are really effective. So like when you search hooded baby towel there, you might've seen like in the top bar, there was maybe like an ad with like three more pictures. It wasn't like a listing, but it was like a different type of ad. That's the one I'm talking about with the AMS ads.
You know what? I'm going to admit something. I browse the internet, all of it, with an ad blocker. I'm going to turn the ad blocker off right now for Amazon.
One of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, not that it matters anymore because I don't go usually to Amazon's website to shop. I'm on my phone or I tell Alexa what I want, right?
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I think like 70-some percent of their traffic now comes from mobile. So.
I see it. Sponsored by Jungle Snugs, 100% off. 100% for charity. Ah, okay. So there is your ad at the very top, which I ad blocked off. And this is one of the campaigns that you're doing right now where you're trying to raise money for charity by selling on Amazon.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. All right. What about if someone buys ads off of Amazon? Anything about tracking that people should know? I want to get a sense of what's working.
From all the testing I've done, it's not very effective. The only way you can even track it is by sending traffic through an Amazon affiliate link. So I think it's actually against the terms of service to send them through your own affiliate link. So I don't know, maybe you have a friend's affiliate link you can use. And that's the only way you can actually tell if someone who clicked through your ad ended up buying the product on Amazon, because Amazon doesn't give you any insight where the traffic came from, who like landed on your page.
You know what I heard that's working as like a workaround? And you tell me if I've got this right. You apparently can create an unlimited number of discount codes. So what I've heard people do is they create a bunch of discount codes. They have someone come to their landing page on their site, enter their email address if they want a discount for the product, right? So Facebook ad, landing page offering a discount, you enter your email address, you're given a discount code that you go to Amazon, and now you're being tracked to see if you bought or not. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. And that does work. If you have multiple promotions, like you can tell if someone purchase your product using a coupon code, but it doesn't tell you which coupon code. So if you're running like multiple promotions, you still wouldn't know that it was that coupon code used. But yeah, you can do that. That works.
Okay. And can you automatically generate those coupon codes so that you can keep testing each ad on each platform?
Yeah. I mean, in the back end of Seller Central, like you can, it's not necessarily automatic, but you can like ask to generate 100 coupons for this percentage off or whatever. And those are the ones you can give out.
Who takes your photos? It seems like you probably have a hack for getting photos taken. It's not easy to get a baby photo.
No, I have like, I think that's like productlifestylephotography.com or something. It's just, something like that.
So it's one of those sites you just have not a partnership, you have an account with them, you send them stuff, you tell them what you want.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just send them like a sample of each product. They're pretty good about working with you. I say like, hey, I want like some cute babies. If you give enough time, he'll even give you pictures of different babies. You can pick the one or whatever.
I never heard of this. Okay. Wait, could it be called Prodotto? No, I can't find it, but I love that there are services that anything that you need, there's some guy out there who's going to do it as a service.
Oh yeah.
All right. Finally, one more thing, and then we're going to switch into how you came up with the software idea. anything about writing an ad or writing copy on Amazon that you can recommend that works well?
I feel like that's writing the copy
take beyond Amazon.
Yeah, no doubt. From my test, like from like split testing a bunch of listings and stuff on Amazon, the actual copy doesn't make that big of a difference, I've found. I don't know about you, but like I don't actually read the copy, and it seems like a lot of the other people are the same way. I normally like look at the pictures and I skip straight to the reviews and see what people say about it.
I look at the questions sometimes.
Yeah. So the questions are good too. And a little hack there would be like you can just have someone like, you know, like ask questions on your listing, right? And then you respond to them if you want people to know, you know,
that like if you're trying to find something like out. The top questions are things I probably should have been asking and somebody's asking it. Look at the top question for Jungle Snugs. What's the GSM, grams per square meter, of this towel? I recently bought a similar one but found it a bit thin. Grams per square? Who asks these freaking questions? But is that you? Because there are now two different people asking those questions, and you guys did actually have an answer for it.
Yeah, I think the reason they asked that is probably because like one of our like selling features is a GSM is, I guess, like the thickness of fabric, right? So one of our selling features are like the thickness on Amazon. And I think maybe even like in our little competitive matrix thing, we say like we're 500 GSM or I don't know, whatever.
I see.
So they might have been like looking at other ones, trying to see which one was thicker.
Okay. All right. I'm going to talk about a sponsor and then come back and talk about this. And come back and find out how you came up with the idea for a software and why you got into software. The sponsor is a company called HostGator. Let me ask you this. If someone's selling on Amazon, does it make sense for them to even have a website on HostGator? Just to kind of rope you into my ad?
Yeah, actually, in order to apply for this thing called Brand Registry, which is really good for sellers to have, they need at least like a one-page website. So most Amazon sellers would be setting up a website.
That makes sense. And you know what? Frankly, for a lot of things, it's so easy for me to set up a website. But still, if I have a website up, for some reason, it gives me a tremendous amount of credibility. Like imagine if I said that I was an expert copywriter. You go, all right, everyone says that they're an expert. But if you Googled me and you saw my website that said copywriter extraordinaire, you'd somehow feel like there was a little bit more credibility for it, a little more credibility there. So one of the things that I suggest that anyone who has an idea do is just go to HostGator, set up a website for it. It's so easy to do one-click install of WordPress. In fact, Jungle Scout was, I was going to say, started on a WordPress. It's still on frickin' WordPress. The whole website is WordPress. WordPress is being used for so many things, and it's easy. One-click install, totally free, and you're ready to roll. If you go to HostGator, they'll host that WordPress install for as little as $3.48 a month. So here's what I'm suggesting. Go check out HostGator.com/Mixergy, where they're going to give you the discount of up to 60% off. And you're going to get unmetered disk space, unmetered bandwidth, unlimited email addresses, tech support, 45-day money-back guarantee. And they even have $100 that they want to give you. They've got a $100 AdWords offer, $50 surge credit on Yahoo. So $100 on Google AdWords, $50 Bing and Yahoo. Go check it out at HostGator.com/Mixergy. And by the way, you're going to see the cheapest plans there. If you're just getting started, start with something inexpensive, move on. Just get your business going. If you're like me, starting a business where you need a lot of traffic, where you're planning on getting a lot of traffic, which is where we were when we started our bot business, I said, hey, look, HostGator, I started with your cheap plan. Roll me up to whatever the top best product you have is. And they did. And the best of the best was able to handle over 1,000 people coming to a live webinar at the same freaking time. I love that. HostGator.com/Mixergy. All right. So, Greg, you got an idea. It's working for you. You have expertise now in selling on Amazon. You're getting a little bit bored. Why did you take the step of creating software as opposed to saying, you know what? I'm going to start selling on other platforms. Or I'm going to start selling on my own website. Why software? What was the impetus?
Yeah, good question. I'm not really sure why. I wasn't a programmer. I actually wasn't very technically smart. I think software always seemed like a little bit like cool and sexy, right? Like, you know, that's what you read about on TechCrunch or like whatever else. So I think I had like a little bit of a drive to. The other reason was like the process for me personally finding these products to sell was extremely like tedious to just like crunch all these numbers. And I was like, man, this would be like, I think like the perfect thing for a software platform.
Tell me what kind of numbers you were crunching, what software you used to crunch them.
Yeah, so I was using an Excel sheet at the time, and I was making lists of like all these product ideas, right? And I had a whole bunch of columns, like how much I thought they sold on a monthly basis, like how many reviews, how many similar products there were, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me see. So if you were thinking, I want to sell a hooded baby towel, you'd have a spreadsheet that had all the different baby towels on it that you found, how many reviews each one of them had. What else did you have on that spreadsheet?
Estimated monthly sales.
How would you estimate back then how many monthly sales?
Yeah, so back then there was so all listings on Amazon, something called a bestsellers rank. Amazon ranks all products in every category, one through whatever, a billion. So that's like a great gauge of how popular a particular item was. So back in the day when I was getting started, people had like rules, very rough rules of thumb. They're like, all right, if it's under 1,000, then it probably sells like whatever, 2,000 a month. 1,000 through 5,000, it probably sells 500 a month. So like I was going off like these different rules
of thumb. Product category, you'd need this rule of thumb?
At the time, the rough rule of thumbs were just like across Amazon. It turned out to be like pretty bogus, but it was like all I had to go off at the time.
I see. So it may not be accurate as to how many products are being sold, but it is a good indicator of relative sales.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And so you had that on the spreadsheet. What else did you have on the spreadsheet?
So it's a number of reviews, estimated monthly sales. I had like how many similar products there were. So when you search hooded baby towels right now, there's like a lot of similar products, right? Like 50 that like look pretty similar. I had that on there. I had the retail price, the price after Amazon fees. So I would know like, you know, how much money I would net after a sale. I think that's more or less it.
How did you figure out the price after Amazon fees? Is it just, it's not just a percentage of sale. It's also a price per like how much per month that it's sitting in their warehouse, right?
Yeah. There's like storage fees. There's like pick, pack and ship fees. And they charge like a 15% commission. So you wouldn't know at the get go how long your inventory was going to sit in their warehouse, but you could figure out like the pick, pack and ship fees and the 15%. They have this, if you just like Google like FBA fee calculator, Amazon has a little fee calculator for you to like, you can put in a product, put in the retail price, and they'll tell you how much the fees would be.
I've seen that calculator. I've never sold anything professionally on Amazon, but I've had stuff that I couldn't return anymore to Amazon. And I said, you know what? I'm not selling on eBay because I don't want to have to wait for the seller to buy. And then I ship it out to them. And I'm just going to ship it to Amazon and Amazon will sell it. And it's a really sweet process.
It is.
See, this is a lot of just back of the envelope math done in a spreadsheet, not fully accurate. Did it help you actually sell?
Yeah, it was still helpful at the time. It was just very laborious and like time consuming to fill this out, right? I was like, I want to sell a hooded baby towel. So I was filling out like all this stuff. So maybe take like a few hours. And I was like, crap, this is like a, you know, a terrible niche to get into. So I go on to the next one. So you can imagine like you could spend a lot of time doing this, right?
And did you do it yourself? Why didn't you hire a virtual
assistant? Yeah, so I started doing it myself. And then that's exactly what I did. Hired a virtual assistant. But yeah, it was still pretty, you know, even at like $3 an hour or whatever, it's still going back and forth, talking with them about the different niches and stuff. It was still like a pretty big hassle. So that's when I spotted this opportunity. Like, man, this seems like something like a piece of software could really easily do. Really like anything like you're still doing on like Excel spreadsheets, if you're doing it like every day, like that's probably like a good opportunity to be replaced with a piece of software, right?
Yeah, right, right. Doing an Excel spreadsheet on a repeated basis, good idea for software. Even if you use it yourself, it's probably going to pay off considering what you paid. Talk about what you ended up paying for it for the first version.
Yeah. All right. So like this, so my first version, you know, I launched it February 2015. So we had just sold our house, quit our job, all that kind of stuff. Amazon was going pretty good, but it's a pretty capital intensive business to be buying this inventory. So I was like, all right, like, you know, I don't want to spend that much money on it because I have something that's working. I don't want to like lose focus of my Amazon business that's working. So I was like, I'm going to try to get this built for $1,000 was my budget to hire a developer to build this little extension. I was going to try to keep it really simple to start, you know, WordPress site, hosting, whatever else. And I did it for $1,000. Like I found someone to build this.
How? You know, where'd you find someone extension for $1,000 to, I'm looking at the first version like, of your site. How'd you find someone to build this?
So I built the WordPress site myself.
That I get. And I just needed someone to build the extension here for it. But the plugin, $1,000, how'd you find someone to do that?
Yeah, it was someone in the Middle East. I found him on, you know, at the time it was Elance. It wasn't Upwork yet. Chrome extensions are fairly simple to build, you know, and it was a very stripped down version. It's not like what you'd see today. So essentially, like you went to an Amazon page, you hit this little button, a Chrome extension showed up, and it looked like an Excel sheet. And there wasn't really like any other features. Like you click a button, and essentially like a spreadsheet would populate. and it was pretty buggy. Like, it didn't work on all the pages that it, like, I was hoping it would. And, you know, it was very stripped down. It was, like, pretty embarrassing looking back on it. But I was like,
a one-time fee, $69. Obviously worked on Mac or PC, though you made a really good point of explaining.
Are you on Internet Archives?
Yeah, I am. What it's showing is quickly see the bestseller ranks. So I'm guessing I look at a product and I hit a button on Chrome, and it tells me what the best sellers are in this for this product. Right. So if I were looking at a hoodie towel, what would it tell me? Actually, you tell me instead of
It would give me a list of the products that were on like that search page with that data that I was talking about pre-populated in there. And like, I guess what my secret, so like, that doesn't sound that cool, right? But I also, the secret sauce we didn't talk about yet was I came up with algorithms to estimate pretty accurately. I mean, fairly accurately to start, fairly accurately, how many units these products were selling on a monthly basis. So, you know, people liked that, like, it did the whole little populate the spreadsheet thing, but to have estimated monthly sales numbers that were way better than any of these like rules of thumbs people were using, that was what was really valuable to people.
Estimated monthly sales. I see. And you had better numbers than other people. And so that was a big,
for sure.
All right. How did you end up with someone really good from Upwork? I've heard so many horror stories from people who were trying to go cheap and ended up on Upwork or what used to be Elance. But
yeah,
I've got to tie my shoelace as you're answering that question. It's driving me nuts that I'm going to trip as I'm on my standing desk with my shoelace open. Yeah, how did you end up with someone good?
What was your problem? I wouldn't say that this person was like really good. They were good enough to get the job done for like this MVP version, you know? They wouldn't have been capable to like build Jungle Scout as we know it today. And I'll also say that like I did have a couple like failed projects like a few years prior to that, of just other like little software type tools I was trying to build on the cheap,
like,
and
what?
They just never amounted to anything. One was trying to compare, so like Amazon warehouse deals. So like if Amazon gets damaged goods, they'll resell it under Amazon warehouse deals. And at one point I found out that like some of these seem to be like really mispriced. So where, you know, whatever, like this little like charger here, it might retail for like $40. But warehouse deals, it seemed to be like mispriced for like $2. So I tried to build this system that would like scrape warehouse deals compared to what these items were selling for on like eBay. And then like spot the arbitrage opportunities, like, oh crap, that's like really underpriced. I could sell it for $20 used on eBay. But that didn't really work out. Try to cheap out with the developer. No.
Okay. What else?
I'm trying to think. I mean, there was like a couple of little things I was trying to hire developers for like a few bucks an hour. It just,
what about Splitly? When did you create that?
So Jungle Scout now is like, we have 4 SaaS applications in our suite. Splitly, we actually purchased, and we only own half of it. And then the other 2, Fetcher and Jumpsend, we created those later on down the road after Jungle Scout.
So then going back to the ones that that didn't work, why do you think those did not work? Let's take the one that you just mentioned right now, compares to eBay, finds lower prices. Why didn't that work? Why didn't that become the big hit?
All right. So I had no idea what I was doing from a technical standpoint. I hired someone who was definitely like incapable of doing it. I didn't provide good enough specifications and like clarity of what I was looking for. Instead, I gave him like this concept out of my mind, right? Or just like written down like, oh, it should do this and this and this and this. Like, that's not how like developers work though, right? They want like wireframes. They want like a thorough understanding of if you click this button, where does it go? If you do this, what happens? Not like someone's like brain dumping an email of, you know,
what you think the software should do. What you envisioned that it actually would sell, or was it also a problem of the product not being the right fit?
Are we talking about for the arbitrage one, warehouse deals?
Yeah, eBay? I want to get.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I see.
I'm not sure.
Never even got to that point. It just was.
No,
not
I never got to the point.
Product.
I never tried to sell it to anyone. It was like it didn't even work at all.
None of these other products worked.
No.
I see. So your challenge was not just finding the right idea, but expressing that idea to a developer. And the answer to doing it right was what you told our producer. Look, I needed to have wireframes right from the start. I needed to be clear about what every part of this would do right from the start. What other tips do you have for communicating with a developer when you're a non-developer?
Sure. Those would be the 2 big things. I'll also say that developers, you know, is a very in-demand type of job right now, right? So like you get, just like with anything else in life, you get what you pay for. So, you know, if you're expecting to pay just like a few dollars an hour and get like a top-notch product, it's just not going to work. Like good developers are going to be making lots of money. So like you need a budget to be to spend to hire these people.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. That, but then again, you ended up paying so little. That's why I'm surprised. That
yeah, so I you know like I keep saying that, like keep in mind, like this was like very crude. It was like pretty buggy, and this person also didn't have like the capabilities to like take it to the next level to like make a more refined product.
Okay, got it. So I'm looking at the sales page here. I see the buy button, buy now for $67. Do you know you didn't even have a sales, like a shopping cart page? You would send people out to PayPal to pay on PayPal?
Yeah.
Right? So we're talking about like quick, get it up.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I had no idea if this was going to, like, I didn't think it was going to work, right? It was just like, this was just like a little side hustle. I had like a successful business. I was like, I'm going to build like a one page WordPress site. I don't even think it has like terms of service or privacy policy or anything. It's like the most like non-legit website ever.
You know what it does have? It has testimonials. And so that makes me wonder, how did you get users? How did you get people to actually try this thing?
Yeah, good question. So, all right. So like I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I was fairly active like in these Facebook groups and other like communities where Amazon sellers were hanging out, right? So I came up with this idea. You know, I spent like my $1,000 to have this developer build it. And once I had like the very first super crude version, I just shot a little screen share of it. And I just said like, hey, what do you guys think about this? Would anyone be interested in it? I'm thinking about like releasing it to the market. And if you are interested, I did send them to the original Jungle Scout page, which was just an email capture. I was just like, hey, if you're interested in learning about this, if I ever do release it, and your email here. And just from that one YouTube video and setting up that page, I got like 100 email addresses, more or less. And that was like my launch list.
I'm looking at that video right now. It's good in some ways, but it's kind of confusing in other ways. Like you're showing what the product is, but you're zooming in on it, and I can't tell where. And I don't even need the zoom. I'm looking at it very clearly on your screen. But that's all you're doing. It's just
pretty
like,
embarrassing. I have to go back and look at it. I have no idea.
YouTube,
I don't even remember
published
it.
Published February 20th, 2015.
I need to unpublish that, man.
I don't know if you made it. No, it's not public. But
okay, we can click through from the Internet Archives. Okay.
But I see it. It's just you with your mouse on your computer screen explaining this thing and how it works. And I could see what it's showing. It's like showing average sales rank, average price, average number of reviews. And then I get to see each item in this category. So I get a sense of what brand it is, what they charge, how they rank, what the estimated revenue. You're showing me what kind of revenue like a Yoga mat could make. All right. So I get it. I see it. I see how you got your first customers. And frankly, it didn't take that many for you to break even, right? You said that that first email list you told our producer got me 9 to 10 sales. Boom. You're basically like halfway there.
Yeah. So I'm stoked, right? This is like a little like fun project, learning a little bit more about programming, hoping someone would buy it. Launch list of like 100 people, 9 or 10 bought it. I was like, at that point, if you know, I never made another sale, I've been like pretty happy because I was like, all right, I have this tool I want to use myself. Pretty much broken even. Life was good.
When you're selling Chrome plugins, you're selling it on your site. You're not even selling it using the Chrome plugin store, which I don't even know if it existed at the time. How do you keep track of who's a customer and who isn't?
So yeah, that site did have like a little bit of a membership system.
Yes, I saw login.
Yeah, actually, I don't think it took – it did. It took you straight to a PayPal page, I think. But then like the confirmation where it sent you back to, that was like inside a membership system. You were emailed – a password, and there was like a download link once you were inside that little
used
membership.
Optimize member or some plugin like that.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yep.
And then if I didn't have it, so basically if I gave you my username and password, you can go and download my plugin. That's how you were protecting it.
Yeah, version one, that's exactly right. Okay. That's all it was.
That makes sense.
I was like, you know, I was thinking like just easy as possible, whatever I can do to get out there. That was good enough. I didn't think anyone was going to buy it. So who cares if it's people can share the password.
Right. You're lucky if they're actually buying this thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take a moment. I'm going to talk about my second sponsor, one that I think at some point you're going to want to sign up for. I'm glad that you don't know it because I'm going to open your eyes up to something really cool. And then we're going to come back and talk about the one thing that was me punching my hand. Boom! Made the sales come in and you're very good at it. All right. The sponsor is a company called Pipedrive. And the thing that I've recognized about companies like yours is, Greg, you sell on a landing page. You've got a beautiful website. I press a button and I can get started. You do webinars on the bottom. I could press another button and reserve my spot for the webinar. But what you don't have that I'm noticing more and more people do is salespeople do demos. Do you guys do that at all?
No, we don't.
There's no like active sales process. There's a sales process that funnels people on the website, but there isn't one that involves people reaching out. Now imagine if you did this. So there are a handful of people who we know are our whales, big people who are going to spend thousands of dollars with us on a regular basis. What if every time they signed up, we got them into a system where our salespeople can keep following up with them and spend a little bit of time, talk to them, and maybe even close sales over the phone or by email with more of a personal touch? Well, if you're interested in that, there's software that does this really well. It's called Pipedrive. What Pipedrive will force you to say is, what's our process for taking someone who's interested and could be a whale and talking to them and emailing them and closing them for maybe not like a $69 a month price, but maybe it's $1,000 a month. Maybe we do a little bit of services in addition. We charge $2,000 a month. I don't know what it is. Well, it'll force you to say that. And maybe your process is step number one, do a demo with them. Step number two, follow up with them a day afterwards with an email. Step number three, have somebody else give them a discount. Step number four, offer another – I'm trying to think of what the next step would be after that. maybe it's do a follow-up call after they bought. So they buy – I forget. I don't even know what your steps would be for that. But the
that's good enough. That'd be close.
Actually, it does not. That's the worst sales funnel. You're very nice to say that. But I told you before we started, do not be nice to me. I don't want to be nice to you. I want us to get
Yeah, that was a terrible sales funnel, but we get the idea.
Sorry?
That was a terrible sales funnel. We do get the idea.
Yes. And so what Pipedrive forces you to do is put every single person in its own column. Or excuse me, put every step of your process in a different column. Whenever someone gets into your system, you create a card for them and you put it in the leftmost first column of your process. Then as you take action, like you do the demo for them, you move them over to the right. You send a follow-up email after the demo, you move them one more column to the right, and you keep on moving and collaborating as a team until you close that sale. We use it when we were selling bot services, and we still are using it now for bot services. Someone expresses an interest, I want to get on the phone with them. Well, put them in Pipedrive. Next step, we get on a call with them. Step after that, we send them a sample based on what they've asked for. Step, 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 step. Each step gets its own column. And it works beautifully with other software that we use, like Stripe for payment, like Infusionsoft, like Gravity Forms. Really great, well-done product. Helped us grow our sales, helped us manage people like you when we're getting you to do interviews. It's really good at saying, what is your goal, team? Let's create a process for getting to that goal, and let's all work as a team to get there. If you guys are interested, don't go to pipedrive.com. Go to the special URL that I'm going to give you where you're going to get a discount and a free trial period. And that is pipedrive.com/MixerG. Pipedrive.com/MixerG. It's a CRM that forces you to articulate the steps to close sales and then keeps you organized so that you go through your process and close more sales. Pipedrive.com/MixerG. Create a better funnel than I just described right now, guys. Okay. The big thing I think that helped you grow your sales in the early days was webinars. Am I right?
It was. Absolutely. And looking back, I wish I was like, smart enough at the time to understand, like, be like considering all the different sales channels and deciding what was the best. But I had no idea how to get the word out there. In the first few sales, someone's like, hey, why don't you come on a webinar with me and like explain how this works like to my audience? I was like, sure, why not? Whatever. And from it, like, got a few more sales. I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. This is working. So I reached out to a few people. They allowed me to like demo it in front of their audience. And even the early days and even today, webinars are a great sales channel for us.
But who would you get to do a webinar with? How did you get people to watch your webinars?
Yeah, so I would always do it for like other people's audiences early on. So those would be people who were either like running Facebook groups or they had like a class teaching people how to sell on Amazon. I would do it for them. Maybe these are people who are just vloggers and like talk about selling on Amazon. And we did, I guess at that point it would just be like a recorded YouTube, but like they play it to their audience, that kind of thing.
And would you split the revenue with them? Is that how it works?
So the first few, I didn't even have like an affiliate program set up yet. They just thought it was super cool. So they were willing to let me just sell to their audience. Later on, when I set up the affiliate program, then they could, you know, make affiliate commissions from the sales.
You don't seem to have that much of a margin though, right? If you're selling a $29 a month plan, even like, let me see, 70 times 12, 840, I guess you split half of the revenue with them? What's your
100% of the first month.
100% of the first month. So someone could just make $70 per member. That's not that much, is it?
I don't know. You tell me. Would you be willing to sell it to your audience for that?
You know what? I don't know. I'm just getting an understanding of how these things work. And what I'm discovering is that it seems to be for info products, it's 50-50.
Right.
And the minimum that seems to do well is $1,000. And so it's like $500 to the person who brings you over.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's like most of the people I think that are like our affiliates or like our top affiliates, they like making like a little bit of extra money on it. But I think they're more so concerned like with providing like a high quality and like valuable tool for their audience, you know? And it's like, hey, I was going to talk about this anyway, because this is like a great way to find products and stuff. So why don't I just throw in the affiliate link? I'll get 100% of the first month, that kind of thing.
I get that. I think I would care much more about that than I would care about anything
else.
Yeah,
for sure.
Are we teaching something useful, and then any extra revenue would be a nice bonus? In fact, I'm doing this interview. I'm not getting jack, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like the webinars I'm doing for people, it's like 99% just like super valuable, high quality information, right? And then it's just like, oh, also, you know, there's this tool called Jungle Scout that it would have helped out with this and this and that and the other thing, right? So it's like having me on like your, you know, these people's webinars, it's like valuable to their audience, and they don't feel like they're just listening to like a sales pitch like you would maybe like for one of these like high end like info product type things.
All right. So you're starting to do that. At what point do you hit your first million in sales?
First million in sales. Good question. Man, I think I want to say we probably did a million in sales in 2015, the first year.
So first year within what, 6 months?
That would probably by the end of the year. So that was like 9-10 months.
And you told our producer the time I realized we were doing really well was when I started to see sales come in, even when I wasn't doing webinars.
Yeah, exactly.
How
so,
would those,
you
sales
know,
come in?
Good question. Word of mouth. I don't know. We, you know, I don't think we were like ranking for any relevant search terms. So mostly word of mouth.
Just someone might watch a webinar and say to someone else, hey, you know what? I know you're selling on Facebook. I know you're selling on Amazon. Go check this thing out.
Yeah. Or people would just say like, you know, like one of the things we did early on that was like a awesome like growth hack for us was people like when they find a product, you know, they're about to invest like thousands of dollars in inventory. They want like validation from other people. This is like a good like niche or a good product to sell, right? So oftentimes you would see like on, you know, I saw like a few people do this, and then that's like when it clicked with me. People would ask for like validation like for their product ideas. So they were showing like screenshots, but they were like blurring out the sensitive data. So something we did early on was you could like take a screenshot of the Chrome extension. We had a little button to do it that would automatically blur out all the sensitive information. So you can ask for validation on the idea for people just looking at the numbers but not the actual product. And of course, like we put a Jungle Scout watermark on there and like a little thing at the bottom. So then like all of a sudden, you know, like every couple of days I was seeing like these Jungle Scout screenshot things showing up on the Facebook groups and in Reddit and wherever else. And people were just like, hey, what do you think about our product? Should I sell something like this? And that was like a pretty good growth hack for us.
I can see how that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Because then everyone would say like, oh, holy crap. Like how'd you find out how many units like the competitors were selling every month? And it's like,
our producer,
bam, Jungle Scout.
Yeah, that's super helpful. In fact, that's what's nice about software that's made to be on other people's sites. Like you think about Sumo.com, Noah Kagan's software. Every time I go on someone's site who uses software for free, there's that crown that I'm clicking on to understand, right, where
it's
from.
Yeah, even if it's only
right?
the tiny little blue bar, you still notice, and it's like that social validation. Like,
right.
Oh, man, a lot of people are using this. It must be legit, right?
Yeah, even if you're just discovering it for the first time, you wonder, how did somebody bring this thing up? How did they do it? You
right.
link back. Most software like yours doesn't have that, and it's clever
right.
to see how you found a way to get that virality from your software. You did tell our producer, Brian Benson, who talked to you before the interview, you said, look, I was challenged, though, by lack of experience. I wasn't sure where to spend my time. Should I be blogging? Should I be doing social media? Should I be doing any number of other things that people tell me to do? And so how did you figure out what to do? What did you try that didn't work? Like, walk me through that process, if you would.
Yeah. So, you know, I like if I was rewind, like get my mind then, it's like, all right, this thing like seems to have like pretty good like product market fit if we want to use buzzwords here. You know, like people are buying this even when I'm not really like, you know, promoting it much and stuff. Everyone, like I'm getting great feedback from everyone. I'm reinvesting like pretty much all the money that I'm making in sales and like making the software actually better. So it's like, all right, how do I like continue to get the word out? So, you know, like, of course, like if you go and just like Google, like, how do I, whatever, get exposure for my product, drive traffic to my site, whatever else. There's like a million things. Pinterest ad, Instagram ads, blogging, SEO, this, that, the other thing, right? There's like a million traction or a million channels that will show up. So for me, you know, like I wasn't very focused. This is like some advice I'd give myself, you know, 2 years ago, is to really double or triple down on what like is working for you and not to get distracted with like all these other shiny objects. So at the time, what was working for me was webinars with people. It's like, looking back, I should have just been like contacting everyone I could find or everyone that would talk to me and ask if I could do a webinar in front of their audience. Instead, I was like, set up a few Facebook ads, trying to drive cold traffic, but all I had was like this really crappy sales page. So those were like not working. Or, you know, I was trying to blog, but like I'm not a very good writer.
But you know, Greg, so yeah. I get why you would do that. The reason you might want to do that is webinars are a lot of work, right?
Yeah, but I guess it depends. Like for me, like to get me to sit down and write for like 3 hours, that's like pulling teeth. For me to like hop on this webinar with you, like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like that's pretty fun. Like I'll chat with you. Like it is some work to like get it set up and stuff. But like this is more like my element as opposed to writing.
I see. I guess I'm putting myself back in your shoes back then, and tell me if I'm projecting my thoughts on you. I would think I'll write a few blog posts myself. I'll figure this thing out. And then at least blogging, I could pass on to someone else. But when it comes to doing webinars, it's a little harder to pass to someone else. They won't care as much about sales as I will, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that part's true. And if you're doing like live webinars for an audience and it's not going to be, you know, like not going to have replays, it's also not evergreen, right? It's like you're putting in the work, like in a certain way, you're still kind of like exchanging like hours for dollars instead of like setting up, you know, like creating like really good content that people are going to read for years and years to come.
You know, I'm wondering if your current webinar is live or not, because I'm on your website today and it says Learn Product Research along with Greg Mercer. And the date on there is yesterday's date. Is that an accident or
probably an accident. So we are experimenting with one. So I probably do like 4 or 5 webinars that we host, or like 3 or 4 webinars that I host every week. And we are experimenting right now with one recorded webinar. So there is one recorded sales-based webinar. That might be the one you're talking about, but the date's still wrong, right?
Yeah. So maybe it's just But
yeah,
I'll send you a link to it. Actually, it's just on junglescout.com if you go to it.
Okay.
So you're doing multiple webinars every week?
Uh-huh.
Every week, even if you're traveling, you need to find a place with solid internet so you could sit down and actually – you are.
Yeah, that's like my number one requisite is like what – we even ask like Airbnb hosts like, hey, take a screenshot of a speed test.
I'm hearing like, a lot of people do that. I freaking wish that I had done that. We just did a retreat last weekend and – dude, the internet was so freaking slow. It was like,
dude, you got to, man. Amateur hour.
Yeah. I should have known. I should have known. In fact, Airbnb should not just force people to have photos, but also say, click this link to confirm your internet and we'll confirm.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. And they would have to do it and then it would post it on their listing. That'd be sweet.
Wow. That's just a tough, tough way, frankly, to make money. How do you get people to come to your funnel, to come to your webinars?
So like our sales webinar, we get a lot of signups. I think we get 500 or 600 signups for that every week, just off the traffic to our site. Like most of our webinars though, aren't necessarily like sales focused. Like right now we're doing this thing called the $1 million case study. We do a webinar every, Wednesday and we're launching, growing, scaling a physical products business on Amazon to $1 million in revenue. It's a philanthropic mission. So we're donating all the money and stuff. So that also, since it's like a case study in this long, you know, the webinars kind of like build on each other and stuff, a lot of people are just following along with the whole thing as well. So
I would do that as just a podcast or a blog series. Why are you doing it as a webinar?
I mean, what's really the difference anyway?
The difference is that you don't have to be somewhere at a specific time to do
it. So you're just saying it'd be recorded instead of live?
Yeah, I'm shocked by your ability to stick with a schedule week after week after week. It's really tough, right?
Yeah, it is tough. But I guess like, so what helps me with that is like I just got on there week one. I made a commitment to the audience. It's like every Wednesday I'm gonna be doing one of these for the rest of the year. The $1 million case study. Follow along watch me grow a business to $1 million in revenue. So now it's like, I have to get on. they're looking for it, by the way.
Just, I'm watching you as you're doing this. Your lighting is good. Your everything is good. But you have a laptop below you, and the webcam is right in front of you, positioned nicely. Where am I? Where's my video on your laptop?
Yeah, on my laptop. And so
you have the discipline to look at the camera, to not see my expression as you're responding.
Only out of the corner of my eye.
What?
Only out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I see you look down at your laptop.
Yeah, I did at one point have like an external monitor that was like right next to my camera. So like I was still always kind of looking at the camera, but could see you or like the chat box or whatever else. I don't have it hooked up for this one, though.
You just don't need it. All right. Let's talk about this thing that you created called Revenue Kick. What was Revenue Kick and what happened? Tell me that story.
Review Kick.
Review Kick, excuse me.
All right. So this is like, your producer asked like, what are the hard parts of the entrepreneurial journey, right? So one of the huge downsides of this business we have right now is that we are extremely reliant on Amazon, right? So, you know, Jungle Scout started going really well. You know, 2015 was good. So early on 2016, I found like another kind of like problem in the industry that I wanted to solve. And that's Amazon sellers really need reviews. No one wants to buy anything on Amazon without reviews. And at the time, it was allowed per Amazon's terms of service to exchange a product for free or a discounted product for a review. So I could say, hey, Andrew, I'm going to give you my Jungle Scout sunglasses here. I'm going to give these to you for 50% off if you'll leave me a review in exchange. And it's like, I'm only giving it to you, though, if you leave me a review in exchange. So that was like, okay. So that was awesome for sellers, right?
We loved this. You can't tell them what to say, but you can give them something so that they could write whatever they want.
Exactly right. I say, you leave me an honest review, right? Yep. I can't say, hey, I'm only going to give this to you for 5 stars. It's an honest review. Well, like needless to say, that was like a little bit of abusing Amazon's system, right? I mean, I was giving away like 50 units, 100 units. So like the week two, I had like 100 reviews. So I was like awesome as an Amazon seller. But Amazon changed that in October of 2016. So this business that I built, Review Kick, it was a site that you could exchange your product. You know, the shoppers, of course, loved it. They were all on there getting products for like 80% off, 90% off for free. All they had to do was leave a review. So it was like it went really well until Amazon shut it down. So that was like my like darkest time in this like, you know, my entrepreneurial journey.
When did you find out that Amazon shut it down? It was
I was watching someone else's webinar. It was about Amazon. I actually rarely watch other people's webinars, but they he's like, oh crap, I just got a text that Amazon no longer allows incentivized reviews. He's like, that'll be funny how that shakes out. I was like, crap. And this was at like 10 o'clock at night. I was actually in Spain at the time. So like they probably released it like the middle of the day. It was like pretty much bedtime for me, and this bomb just got dropped on me, and I was like, oh no, what happens now?
And your whole business is closed.
Pretty much.
That part, how much money did you spend on that one?
And that's what I was thinking. I mean, I had become profitable from that, but we were able to kind of pivot that into a business that is within Amazon's terms of service. And it actually is still quite valuable to Amazon sellers. So we rebranded that. It's now called Jump Send. You can visit it.
I'm on there now.
Yeah, on there is a deal site. So, and you can just kind of like you would like Slick Deals or whatever. I can put my Jungle Scout sunglasses up there for 50% off. People can request the coupons, use the coupon, and buy products at a discount. So it's still valuable for Amazon sellers.
But it's a completely different business. Now the headline on the site is the number one Amazon email automation and coupon distribution tool.
Yeah, exactly right. So
if I wanted to give discounts to my customers, I would use you. Would it plug in with my current email system?
So you wouldn't use your current email system with like Amazon. So what that does now is there's like essentially you can think of it as two different parts. One part, I can give away coupons to increase my sales velocity, which on Amazon's important. It's a major effector of your page rank for your search terms. And then also you can automatically email your customers. So someone buys something, whether at a discount or at full price like on the site, you can send follow-up emails to either like distribute like a free ebook or ask them to leave a review or ask them to leave feedback, etc.
Using Amazon system, I can never collect their email address, never recommend that they come to my site next time, right?
Correct. Amazon gives you an anonymized email address to send to, and they monitor what you send there and strip out any good stuff.
What percentage of your sales, of your revenue, comes from JumpSend versus Jungle Scout?
Jungle Scout makes up over 80% of our revenue if you combine all four of our apps, including Splitly, which is technically half ours.
Jumpsend is phenomenal as an idea, right? You're taking everything that people need outside of Amazon, like email marketing, and bringing it to this system.
Yeah, exactly.
And that one, you actually get a really nice monthly recurring revenue, up to $100 a month. $200 a month for that high end. And then Splitly allows me to do A/B testing. I know we're over time here, but I can't let you go because I'm too freaking fascinated by you.
Splitly A/B testing for Amazon sellers. So you can change the main image or change the price or change the title, all that kind of stuff, and see which one works better.
All right. Well, congratulations on doing so well with this.
Thank you.
More than a million in the bank at this point? Of course. Personally banked million. I like the smile that you gave me at that. So you're set. You're saved.
I'm saved. I won't have to go back to engineering. I know that much as of now.
Yeah, you don't. Do you go to sleep with this fear that, man, it's all going to go away at this point? I still do.
It's starting to subside.
Starting to subside. So in the last few weeks, you might have gone to sleep saying, what did I do? This thing could be the end of me. Or what if this thing happens? It could be the end of all. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think like a lot of like entrepreneurs think that, right? Especially ones like I've had like pretty good success in a relatively short amount of time, right? So it's like, I don't know, like will it ever go away as fast as it came? I like to think no, because of all these skills that I've developed. Even if Amazon goes out of business tomorrow, like I'm pretty sure that the skills I've gained from this, I can create something else pretty cool.
All right, let's close it out with Jungle Camp. That was one way that you guys got to celebrate. What is Jungle Camp? How did you feel having put this thing together?
Yeah, so Jungle Camp is something we do two or three times a year. So we're a remote company. We do have like about 10 people here in Vancouver, but other than that, we're distributed around the world. So we meet up two or three times a year. We call them Jungle Camps. It's a really fun time. A lot of times you'll meet like new people you've never met before because they're new hires. We celebrate like our successes. We plan for the next 4 to 6 month kind of like time frame. So it's a really cool time. So the reason we talked about that before the production is like, at what point did you realize that like you're going to be successful? You kind of made it. And I remember like we did Jungle Camp Saigon. I think that was beginning of 2016, maybe middle of 2016. I don't know. And I was sitting next to my wife and like, we looked around. At that point, there was like 10 people on the team. And that's when it like first kind of hit me. It's like, wow, like we have like, this is like a real company now. Like, these people's like lives like kind of depend on it. I mean, like, you know, like our paychecks, we're paying for these people's lives, whatever. You know, the company's doing well. We have like this really like brilliant, smart, motivated team. And that's when it like really hit me. It's like, wow. This is like a real legitimate, awesome company now.
It really is. I'm so excited to hear about the business. I'm glad to see how well it's doing. I can't believe a guy who just spent $1,000 on an idea ended up with a business that's doing this kind of revenue. That just looks so freaking polished. I would have thought that you had funding at this point. It just looks so well put together.
Thank you.
Website for anyone who wants to go check it out. All your websites look good. In fact, my favorite design of all your websites is, what was that thing that I saw? It's Jump Speed of all of them, but Jungle Scout is the mothership. So anyone who wants to go check it out should go to check out junglescout.com. Let me know what you guys think of the software, and let me know what you think when you go to his webinars. And I'm grateful to you for doing this and to my two sponsors. The first is a company that will help you close more sales. Do not use like a horrible sales funnel the way that I described it. Like, really be intentional about it and allow yourself to keep improving and improving it. It's called PipeDrive. Check them out at pipedrive.com/Mixergy. The second is the company that will host your website, and it's called HostGator. Check them out at hostgator.com/Mixergy. Cool, Greg. Thanks for being here.
Andrew, thanks a lot for having me on. Take care.
You bet. Bye, everyone.